let you fall asleep on me. Athens, Georgia is a home to a multitude of sports teams at the University of Georgia, at local high schools, and in the surrounding community. Every team, every athlete, every coach has a story. As students in the Sports Media Certificate at UGA, we go looking for these stories. We're bringing you some of them to you here in the Carmichael Sports Media Institute's podcast series.
Hello and welcome to the UGA Sports Media Podcast for October 18th, where we'll be talking about a variety of sports and sports topics. I'm Weldon Kolker, your host, and covering Clark Central and Cedar Shoals. Let's turn first to Matthew for any updates on Clark Central.
Thank you, Weldon. Since our last podcast, Clark Central's volleyball team secured their spot in the state tournament after sweeping Appalachie in three straight sets. This was their first region game and a part of the playoffs. This match took place last Wednesday, October 13th. As for football, Clark Central defeated Walnut Grove with a region victory 40-7. This was seen as a complete game by Clark Central due to a healthy defense who they hadn't had before. That was October 8th. As for last week, Clark Central, they pinked out Billy Henderson Stadium in their homecoming game. They demolished the Greenbrier Wolves 76-34. This also set a school record for the most points scored in a single game. And this will be great momentum for the team going forward as they hunt for the region title. As for the school itself, Clark Central, they commemorated the founding of the 50 years after desegregation of Athens High and Bernie Harris High School with a mural that was made by Marissa Leilani Mustard and other high school students on October 7th. The mural pays tribute to the nearer neighborhoods around the high school and just tips the hat off to a school dedicated just to being united together in Athens-Clark County.
Thank you, Matthew. Let's turn to Allie for updates on Cedar Shoals.
Yeah, so the football team lost on Friday to Flowery Branch 34-14, and they traveled to Flowery Branch, so that was a tough loss for them on the road. They won their second game of the season against Madison County in overtime on October 2nd, so that was a really big victory for them, and Mandrell Glenn won the Athens Area Player of the Week for that week after scoring the touchdown that won them the game. So that's good for them to get some
momentum
after a few losses on their season. The volleyball team also was in Flowery Branch this weekend for the regional volleyball tournament. Still awaiting updates and results from that. But yes, the football team plays North Oconee this Friday, so they're up for another challenge on Friday.
What is their overall record thus far?
I believe they are 2-4.
Is that better than recent years? Or just about in sync with the rest of them?
I would say it's just about how it's been.
Yeah, for Clark Central Gladiators, they've been doing better than recent years, actually. What they said in the last game against Greenbrier in the 76-34 blowout, they had three different players who scored multiple touchdowns, and they actually have a healthy defense now, so that's been great towards them. So we might see that's something to stay and look forward to as the region play continues to open up.
I know that we talked about Lucian Anderson last time when we touched on football. Has he been doing anything to contribute to the team's success?
Well, I'll say this right now. I think he threw for multiple touchdowns. He actually threw multiple deep touchdown passes last week of 30-plus yards. And when I've been there, they seem more like a running team. They are more run-oriented as what mostly is in, from what I've seen from high school football, but the offense scoring 76 points, and again, as what Matt said earlier, breaking a school record. You know, there's an interesting article in the Athens Banner-Herald how, and completely paraphrasing here, David Pernell said that when he was playing right around there, I don't know, 40 years ago, they scored 70 points back-to-back weeks, so really just breaking a school record, and this is the same team that I think scored maybe 3 and 2 points against Buford and Oconee County. So really improved offense. And granted, Greenbrier is a different caliber school. And by the way, also a 5-game winning streak for the football team. And they are 5-0 in region play. Just a quick side note I want to throw out there. I did my first play-by-play football game on October 8th. I was there when they beat Walnut Grove. Probably more of a baseball, basketball guy, but we'll see. So that's my report on Clark Central. Quick side note on the softball team. They are 8-20, 0-18 in region play. They ended their season on a 6-game winning streak. According to Max Preps, excuse me, they got outscored 210-102.
Wow. That's crazy.
So much needed improvement there on the softball aspect of Clark Central.
But it seems like Coach Perno is doing a pretty good job with getting this team back on track.
Better than recent years.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. Any other updates from anyone?
This upcoming week, Clark Central, they are scheduled to play Loganville, and this will be region play, and it's at Loganville High School. That's this Friday, October 22nd. But next Thursday, Clark Central will face off against their home friend of Cedar Shoals, so that'll be something to cover.
Woo-hoo. Big game.
Big game. So that'll be a Thursday night game instead of Friday. That should be interesting, but that will be happening at Billy Henderson Stadium at Clark Central High School.
You said football?
Football.
Still surprised that they're doing Thursday night football.
Interesting, right?
I've never
felt and part I know of that game before. Was scheduled for the beginning of the season, but because of COVID, they postponed it. So yeah, it's just now taking place.
So that's a big rivalry, would you say?
I believe so.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the two Clark County schools.
Okay. Shifting gears regarding upcoming winter sports, is there anything or anyone that you've been kind of excited to see as we've been studying a little bit more about both of these schools?
I'll add something about basketball. So the girls have tryouts actually this afternoon, Monday afternoon, and the boys, I believe, also have tryouts this week, so they are getting started with that. And some preseason honors came out for the basketball team, and Kashik Brown is All East Georgia boys honors a few weeks ago, and we have some girls as well at Cedar that have won preseason honors.
Anyone else?
In terms of the, just a quick side note in terms of fall sports, and we can get in line into this later more towards the end. This is according to the Gladiator Hoops Twitter page. The team is having tryouts next Monday, October 25th. 9th and 10th graders will be at 4 p.m. 11th and 12th graders will be at 6 p.m. And I'd have to look at their roster, but many players on the basketball team also are playing football as well, so it's interesting to see how that would conflict with football practice and how the roster would be shaped up, how many of the players are non-football players that are trying out. So that will be next Monday at 4 and 6 p.m.
Yes, sir, I can attest to that. I've been talking to Coach Hulse, Coach Smith, Stephon Smith, he's a head basketball coach for the men's team, the boys' team, and he's also been saying that they're ramping up. He's been doing some one-on-one training sessions with some of his returning starters. But like Burke just said, much of the players will be on the football team, so it should be interesting. Coach Smith has high expectations for the team this year, but it's going to be a little transition with Clark Central's football team wanting to go deep into state. So that should be interesting to see how many of those players, what that effect of the late arrival of some of his players coming to the team will be on the basketball team.
Did he highlight anyone in specific?
Lucia Anderson, he's expected to play basketball again this year.
Okay.
And Lamar Haynes, that's somebody else to watch out for. I think he is a rising junior. He's been having one-on-one training sessions with Coach Smith, so it should be interesting to see how he performs.
Okay, and I have something to add to that. I know we brought up the name Zaylee Gant a few times. Coach Hulse mentioned her briefly when we talked to him in the beginning of the semester, but I am currently interviewing her right now just to get more of like insight on her and her sport. And I know that she is also a track athlete, and that's coming up for the season. And she went to the Junior Olympics for track, so I'm excited to see that and her performance too.
Interesting.
It seems like there's a lot of multi-sport athletes at both these schools. Because at Cedar Shoals, Jordavian Colbert plays on the football team. He also just got third season preseason All-State for basketball. So that, I mean, just what y'all were talking about football players also wanting to play basketball, I think Cedar Shoals is going to run into that as well with some of their star athletes.
In fact, just to give a little information on the football team and football-basketball crossover, I have the roster up of notable Clark Central football players that also play basketball from what I've seen play. So Antonio Jewell will be according to Max, perhaps a 5'5" point guard this year. Also plays receiver, kind of a deep option. And here's an interesting player, shooting guard number 4, Renardo Files, who actually gets a lot of, I've heard his name a fair amount mentioned. I think he's getting recruiting options. Is actually featured in the Banner Herald, is actually one of the top 20 players in the area. Kyle Cowan is playing basketball this year as a guard, 5'11", number 5. I believe that's also his football number, starting running back, or actually quarterback. In fact, it was mentioned earlier, Lucien Anderson was on the basketball team. Starting running back William Richardson is on the basketball team as well. I've seen play. They're one of their bigger running backs, so that is kind of cross-sport athletes. And we'll see how tryouts look like, but that's the current roster that I have right now. And I just want to throw this question out here. Anyone here a multi-sport athlete in high school, like, and had to transition from one sport to another? Like, what experience do you all have in that?
So I don't know if I mentioned this in the last podcast, but I actually had to choose go with one sport when I was a freshman in high school. So I decided pretty last minute in middle school, so it wasn't really an issue for me. But I don't know if you guys have any experience in that, but choosing soccer and only soccer was pretty early for me.
So yeah, in my high school, South FM High School down near Savannah, it was pretty common to see multi-sport athletes, both boys and girls. So from what I remember, most of my guys, my friend group, we all did basketball, track, and we all did football, basketball, and some form of track, whether we did field or sprint events or jumping events. It was pretty common to see multi-players. Many players do different sports. But I think part of that might come from is the size of the school. So the bigger the school, I feel like the less likely students are to more, this is just my thought, my hypothesis, but it's less likely to play different types of sports because there's more students to choose from. Whereas smaller schools, coaches may recruit and say, hey son, I saw you play really good on the basketball court. Why don't you come out and run or do triple jump for track and field? So that could be a thing maybe that we could look into in the upcoming weeks. But I thought I was encouraged to do as many sports as I could just because, one, I have fun. I love basketball. That was my favorite sport. And track, it helped me stay in shape for football. So that was my reason for doing those three sports.
That's really interesting. I have no personal experience with that, but I do want to add something about Cedar Shoals soccer. And so 4 of their boys' soccer players were named to the ODP team, which is Olympic Development Program, which Weldon just told me about. So that is something to look out for the upcoming soccer season.
Yeah, I honestly didn't even know that ODP was still going on. I'm not sure about girls because you said, as you mentioned, that it was some boys that got called up to that. But that's honestly a really big reward and acknowledgement just to be called up. Because it just means that you're, like, one of the best in your state. Maybe, right. Like, obviously, possibly in the nation. But you get to compete against, like, other players that are, you know, potential Olympic, like, material.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool.
It'll definitely be something to look out for next semester.
I have a question going back to the multi-sport athlete situation. Do you guys think that, like, from personal or just from, like, looking at your, like, friends or peers' experience, do you think that it kind of has, like, a – are they at a disadvantage when it comes to that?
Are you talking about in terms of – like their performance in terms of high school, I think, or their chances of going to advancing to the next level?
I think the next level.
So you're talking about multi-sport athletes versus specialization, like, type deal, correct?
Yeah.
It's like specializing in, like, for you, for example, you specialized in one sport, and that was soccer. And look at yourself now. You are an athlete on Georgia's soccer team. So you're raising the question whether that's beneficial or not.
Yeah.
You got any thoughts on that, Bert? Multi-sport athletes versus a specialization in one sport? What do you think?
I mean, I guess it depends. Like, I just went at length about the football players playing basketball or not. What I feel like, and sure, we don't really have, like, the, you know, the Deion Sanders or the Bo Jacksons anymore. Like, that's probably the extreme example of two-sport athletes, like, right, the highest level. I mean, actually... you know, Patrick Mahomes played a little baseball in college, believe it or not, and obviously football was his strength. I mean, I hear of actually in college guys playing football and baseball sometimes, and I even hear examples in the SEC. So what I would say is, and just what I've heard, and I talked about this earlier, I would encourage playing multiple sports. Like, that's what I would tell younger athletes, just so maybe you're not burnt out in one sport. And I think it could give you potentially extra scholarship opportunity. So I would lean towards just playing multiple sports as long as you can until maybe you decide what sport you think is your best sport going forward, whether it takes you to college or even the professional ranks.
I'd agree. And part of that... I think something that goes into the argument specialization or multi-sport athletes comes into question is the amount of money and resources you have. For, like, say, like, for a specialization, so, like, in more of the wealthier parts of Atlanta, some baseball players may decide not to do basketball or football and specialize in baseball because they can afford travel baseball, or they can afford private lessons year-round or some situations like that. I think that might become a question as to how much money or, like, how much, like, you know, your resources as to whether or not you can afford to do specialize in a certain sport. Otherwise, so, like, for example, Clark County, just you stay involved in other sports to increase your ability, because think about it, some of the best receivers, from what I've seen in football, also played basketball, and they were really talented with their agility, being able to cut on a dime, and their quickness, and et cetera. And for example, look at Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. They played baseball growing up, and they have some of the biggest arms in pro football today. So that's something to think of.
That's a good point. Anyone else have anything to add to the topic or question? No?
Okay, here's a question I was about to ask. Okay, so what are your own experiences trying out for sports, whether it's high school or any other type of tryouts? I'll start with... me. So I tried out for basketball in seventh grade, and, you know, almost a decade ago. I was not very good at basketball. Now, a more serious sport, I actually was serious about baseball. Like, I played baseball in middle school, and I spent hours practicing as a kid. I thought I might make it to the major leagues. Well, I was getting ready to try out. Ninth grade, and I didn't even make the ninth grade team, and there went my baseball career, and I decided I want to pursue broadcasting instead. So here I am today on the broadcasting route. So that's my experience of tryouts, is particularly baseball. What are
we have two collegiate athletes in our midst. Me and you are not that, and that's okay. But I also have experience with basketball tryouts. That's the main sport I played in middle school and high school. So, that's where
that go?
I'm at. Not, you know, not great.
Yeah.
Didn't really get far in high school at all, and then decided I probably wanted to do journalism or something. So similar.
Yeah.
Similar thing. Like, was still interested in sports, but I was like, this is not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like I said, most of my, like, tryout phases was when I was, like, in middle school or, like, lower ages. But when I did try out in middle school for, I think it was, like, the volleyball team or something like mm-hmm. that, I absolutely hated it. Like, yeah. I hated the sport itself.
Right.
But since I was just, like, trying to get more, like, involved and just, like, being an athlete in general, I thought it would, like, help. I was wrong. I made the team, but I hated it. And I think I quit, like, not that far ahead after. So, I mean, I didn't have any, like, bad experiences with tryouts just because I would always try out for the sports that, like, I knew I would hopefully excel in. But volleyball kind of threw me a curveball. I didn't like that at all.
I also tried out for volleyball in school.
It's not. It's not easy. Yeah. It's tough. It's a tough.
I think it's pretty interesting as to how whether or not some people who do not make the teams that they love the sport they play and how they eventually come to see themselves back around the sport later in life. Like for you, example, Burke, you said like you love baseball. You may mm-hmm. find yourself a broadcaster being on a radio topic for baseball. Funny, interesting story. One of the coaches on Georgia's football team, Coach Schumann, he has never played football in his life. He wasn't athletic to do so. But his dad was a coach, and he got cut every time in high school, but he was able to get himself into coaching, and now he's coaching linebackers at the number one team in the nation.
That's really cool.
So you see, that's an interesting story. So you never know, like, things can come from not making tryouts, but it's always cool to see how some people find themselves back around the sport later.
Okay, that's it from us here at Grady Sports Media, and we'll see you guys next week.
Please subscribe to this podcast at anchor.fm/carmichael-sports-media. For more information on the UGA Sports Media Program, please visit our website at sportsmediainstitute.uga.edu. To see and hear more, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @BySportsMediaUGA.